Respect all, fear none.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking back at a very quiet day in the NBA, just the two games on Sunday with NFL Championship Day happening, and then we preview an absolute nutcracker of a 14 game day in the NBA on Monday. Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We're also going to talk about some injury news that has happened over the last 24 hours. Of course, if you want to hear my take on the Trevor Ariza-Kent Bazemore trade, that was in yesterday's mini show, the Week 14 preview. So go back and check your YouTube channel or my YouTube channel, not yours. You can check your own if you want. Check my channel and check the podcast feed as well to hear my thoughts on that deal. Let's move into looking at these games from Sunday, the early game, the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. The Spurs win 107-102. Bam Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
Big game from Bam. He had quietened off a little bit, but recently he's back on track. 21-16 with 6 assists, really strong numbers, while Kendrick Nunn was good for the third consecutive game. 18-3-4 with 2 steals for Nunn. 57% shooting. The 36 minutes really stands out here. Now, it did come because Tyler Hero played only 9 minutes and he was out last game as well. So that's something to factor in, but Hero did not look great in this game. Yeah, walking around, didn't look like his knee was fully healed at all. So that does, and with Winslow out for the foreseeable future, that does give Nunn that boost in minutes that he needs to be a 12-team league guy. Jim Butler had 16-5-6, while the Spurs dunked Robinson 12 points with 4 triples. And we stressed this so many times that we talked about with Matt when we did the Positional Tiers podcast in the offseason. Talk about it with Kyle. I talk about it all the time. Don't draft guys purely for their 3-point shooting, because you can just find these guys. They come out of anywhere. Reggie Bullock's doing it at the moment in New York. Dunk Robinson's been doing it all season. JJ Redick's doing it and not much else for the Pelicans. Like, there are plenty of guys that you can find that come in and hit 2.5-3 triples a game rather than wasting a pick. Not saying that Buddy Hield is a wasted pick, but you can overvalue him based on 3-pointers when other guys around that can do that. Goran Dragic also had a nice game, 19 points in 24 minutes. Well, as I mentioned, Hero, only the 9 minutes, he did not look right returning from that knee problem. For the Spurs, DeRozan didn't hit 50% of his shots finally, but still had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists, continue his remarkable role, while Aldridge, 21 points, 2 triples, and 2 blocks. So good that he's starting to hit threes now. That really helps solidify his value. 29 minutes for Pat Mills. 18 points, 4 triples. He occasionally has these games. It's just not trustworthy enough. But another bloke that you can feel okay about. He's going to get 21 minutes. He's going to hit 2 threes a game and feel okay about it. Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
Now, he's obviously hasn't been good this season. The minutes have been frustrating, and they just won't play him next to DeJounte Murray because you've got to give a shit player like Bryn Forbes as many minutes as possible. But he's still good. 11-4-6 for White, 2 steals. This is why I like him. The problem is that those minutes are just too low. As for DeJounte Murray, he was battling an illness. He only played 22 minutes, 7-3. He still is a hold, but the upside is not. It's just not there. With how they're running things, there is just no upside. The drip Lonnie Walker played 20 minutes. He's a long way from being a 12 or 14 team league guy. Marco Bellinelli thefted his way into 21 minutes, while Forbes, the aforementioned Bryn Forbes, played only 16 minutes, scoring 2 points, missing all 5 of his shots, and there is no way that he should be a consistent part of the Spurs, not only starting lineup, but their rotation in general. When you start the hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. And just like that, we move on to the last game of the day, which is, in fact, just the second game of the day. The Indiana Pacers get the win over the Nuggets, 115-107 in Denver. Doug McDirt, 24 points in 21 minutes on 90% shooting with 6 triples. Of course, he had no steals or blocks and only 2 rebounds and 2 assists. But McDermott has been a lot more aggressive this season, upping his usage. And he can be that weird, deeper league 3-point streamer. He's not going to be this good most nights, of course. Domantas Sabonis, 41 minutes and the triple-double, 22, 15, and 10 for Domas, while Malcolm Brogdon had 22, 3, and 8, and Tony Warren had 22 points. No threes, 1 assist, and 3 rebounds. You know my thoughts on Warren. He's very one-dimensional. That's not true, because his field goal percentage is usually pretty strong as well, but just lacks in those other areas. Wasn't a great night for Jeremy Lamb. Now, he played well last time out, was terrible here. 7 shots, missed them all. 0 points in 23 minutes, and he's just not going to be a fantasy 12-team league guy when the playoffs roll around. So you've got to consider moving on. And Miles Turner, man, Jesus, it's rough. Now, 20 minutes here, it was limited. He fouled out, so he's limited by foul trouble. But he just can't get things rolling when Sabonis is playing. 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1-3. I stated my concerns with him multiple times in the preseason. I didn't think it would be anywhere near this bad, but this is, it's rough because you have to hold, but you don't want to. And that's sort of where we're at. Justin Holiday had 14 points in 25 minutes, while Aaron Holiday just the 13 minutes. For the Nuggets, some curious decisions here from Malone, especially closing the game with Plumlee, Jokic, and Jeremy Grant all on the court. Big Chungus himself, Nikola Jokic, had 30 and 10 with 3 steals in 32 minutes. Torrey Craig started for Gary Harris. He had 3 blocks. Otherwise, he just doesn't do enough. Oh, that lineup with Grant, Plumlee, and Jokic also had Torrey Craig in it. Craig just doesn't do enough. He's just a deeper league guy. Michael Porter, you might look at those numbers and go, well, why did he only play 23 minutes? He had 10 and 8. He had 2 steals. He didn't shoot well to start with, 3 of 9 from the field. He also has some real defensive problems, and that's why Malone pulls him off.
Giggity!
And doesn't let him play big minutes consistently. Now, while Murray, while Harris, and while Millsap are out, he does have some 12-team league stream ability. But when everyone's back, he's just not going to push into 25-minute-a-night territory, nor is he going to be the 60% shooter that we've seen through the course of the season. So he's not going to be, I don't think, a long-term guy. Will Barton, 16-7-5, strong from him, while Monty Morris, really floundering in the starting role in terms of putting up numbers. I think he's doing okay on court. The 5 assists are fine, but we should be looking at him as an assist specialist rather than a must-roster player. 2 points in 29 minutes. PJ Dozier in deeper leagues, he's pretty solid. 8 points with 3 assists as well. He's stepping up with Jamal out. It was a solid night from Jeremy Grant, 16-5 in 33 minutes, but he is far from a must-roster guy. He's a short-term streamer while Millsap is sidelined. Not much else to do. Oh, yeah, Malik Beasley, who goes from playing 40 minutes down to 13 minutes. You can't trust his minutes. You can't trust his production. He is a guy that I think is almost definitely going to get traded, and even then, his value is really tied up in the points category versus almost anything else. Let's have a look at some injury news now. Marvin Bagley, there was concern over the weekend. Multiple people said, oh man, he's injured again. Should I drop him? He's not even on the injury report for tomorrow's. He did have to leave the game early due to a foot complaint. He had his foot in a bucket of ice. He said he was fine. Appears he is fine, so it doesn't look like there's any issue there. Kemba Walker missed a game over the weekend with a knee injury. He is questionable for Monday. That's obviously a bit of a concern. So we'll monitor that situation. Marcus Smart should be rostered anyway. Should be rostered even more now. Derek Favors has cropped up on the injury report with a back injury. Hopefully nothing goes wrong there because he has obviously been, and I say this without putting down what Brandon Ingram has done because Brandon Ingram has been good all season. But go and look at the Pelicans' record when Favors plays, and when he doesn't, they're a disaster. He is massive for this team, and he should be rostered in all leagues. CJ McCollum will miss again on Monday with an ankle issue, while Aaron Baines is doubtful with a hip problem. Baines is a clear 12 and 14 team league drop, while McCollum, we just hold onto him. We don't have any long-term concerns about this ankle injury. Let's see where that goes. Short-term, Simons and Trent are the major beneficiaries from his injury. It is an absolute whopper of a day for DFS on Monday with 14 games on, and we're going FanDuel pricing for this slate. the first of these ungodly 14 games is the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards. We're looking at FanDuel pricing today just to keep it consistent because they do have an all-day slate. DraftKings does not. You can see all the different pricing and projections for the individual different DraftKings slates over on basketballmonster.com, but I'm going to be previewing all 14 games here. This is a day, along with days where there's one or two games, that you try and avoid playing DFS. There's just so much weirdness going on with 14 games. And also, interestingly, at the start of the season, FanDuel's pricing was so high that it was really hard to create a good lineup. So much luck went into it. Now they've changed things up, and their pricing is significantly softer than the DraftKings pricing, which is a really, really big change up. So a lot of the value guys and a lot of the pricing has been dropped, $1,000, $1,500 from players on FanDuel. So you will notice that change that has happened. So let's look at this first game, the Pistons and the Wizards. The Wizards are one-point favorites, remarkably, at home, and the total is 233 points. Jordan McRae did not appear on the injury report after it looked like he severely twisted his ankle last game, so we'll see how that one goes. Anzis Pacheshnik is also listed on the injury report with an ankle problem, while the Shark, Bruce Brown, he is ready to go dealing with a thumb problem. Of course, Blake Griffin, Luke Kennard, they are all still out. So is Reggie Jackson. At point guard, new starting point guard, Derrick Rose is at $7,000. I like that price for him. He's giving us 37 a night over the last five. The matchup is super good for Rose. Really, really strong option here, I believe. While Isaiah Thomas is the opposite of that. Yes, he's at 3,800. That's because he's averaging 11 FanDuel points over his last five games. Clearly not good enough. Ishmith, 4,800. Not enough confidence in his role either. While Timmy Frazier has somehow worked his way, swindled another coach into getting a role back as the backup, which is really cutting into the Shark, Bruce Brown. At shooting guard, Beal is at 7,300. Has not exceeded 30 minutes since returning from his leg soreness. That is obviously a huge concern. If you want to roll the dice, that price is pretty cheap for Beal. We know he can be a 50-point guy, but I just don't think they're even going to push him to 32, 33 minutes here in this one, unfortunately. Gaz Payton, he's back on the bench, while Bruce Brown, the production for him is really down at the moment with this new idea that we've got to play Tim Frazier, which is cool. At small forward, Troy Brown's at 4,900. Really strong from Brownie last game. Pretty disappointing the one before that. I'm not overly reading into that last performance too much from Brown. He's not a bad option, but there are better guys out there. And just so you know how weird last game was, Isaac Bonga dropped in 30 points. So that should give you an indication of why Brown's game's a little bit hard to trust. It also came with McRae going down with that ankle problem, and he looks like he'll be ready to go. Markieff Morris also, he is playing quite well. 25 average over the last three. He's at $4,000 reduce. I'm not sure that I'd trust him. In fact, I know that I don't trust him, but it is interesting that he is trending in the right direction. At power forward, Davis Bertans is at 48. I don't really like what he's doing for DFS at the moment. There's nothing super standing out. While Sekou Doumbouya is at 4,800 also. There are better guys around than spending that on him. The Crucifix Christian Wood could be one of those players. He is at 5,100, and he is averaging 27 points over the last five games in 18 minutes. The problem is that can we expect more than 18 minutes? And the answer to that is almost definitely no, making him a bit of a risky option. At center, Tom Bryant, the Tank, is at $4,000. That's because he's starting at power forward and doing jack shit, averaging 9 points over the last three games, not even getting to 20 minutes. The matchup is a positive one if he was to play at center and if he was to get more minutes. We don't know either of those things at this point, so he's quite risky. As for Drummo, he's at 10,200, Andre Drummond. You should feel good about, you know, high 40s to 50s with him. Not a bad price. I just think we can find better. One of those better options is not Yan Mahinmi. The next game up on deck, the Toronto Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks. Real blowout risk here with this game. The Raptors are 8-point favorites on the road. The total is 231. Alex Len is doubtful, meaning Damian Jones and Bruno Fernando and Johnny Collins are going to get those center minutes. At point guard, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
First game back in Atlanta, he had 30 points in 25 minutes. Now, I'm not convinced that he plays that much or plays that well every game, so I'm not going to be falling all over myself to get Teague. And of course, if he gets 30 points at 4,600, it's a great value play. I just don't trust that. Trae Young had only 35 in that first game, but with Teague there, only played 27 minutes due to the blowout, so I think we can feel not too bad about Trae, although 10-3 is a pretty pricey price. 8,200 for Kyle Lowry with Fred VanVleet back, that probably stinks a little bit. It's probably a little bit too high for me. At shooting guard, Fanderpants, Kevin Huerter is at 5,200. He had 2 points last game, so that was awesome. Only played 24 minutes, got benched, and then sat in the blowout as well. Jeff Teague playing more minutes is always something that's disturbing. it's really hard to get excited about using him given that scenario. Well, Storm and Norman Powell, I mean, 5,100 for Powell. He's averaging 36 over the last three. Let's go. Let's get at least 30 points. Maybe it pushes higher. Van Vliet was great in his first return, back 48 points in those limited minutes that he played in his first game back. At 7,200, I really like Van Vliet here. Bembry, not so exciting. At small forward, Siakam's at 74. Has not really got it going at all since returning from his groin injury. Only played 24 minutes last game. Pretty hard to rely upon him at this stage. DeAndre Hunter also very, very inconsistent. Same as Cam Reddish and the Jedi, OG Anunoby. Did that button even work?
Hello there.
No, it didn't. That's better. He had 5 points last game. It is really tough to rely upon him. And at $5,000, we can do better. The Baptist, Johnny Collins at 7,700, continually sees under 30 minutes a game, which is really, really annoying. The matchup is a strong negative one here for him. So at 7,700, I reckon we can do better than Collins. Rondo Hollis-Jefferson is probably not one of those options, nor is Serge Ibaka, who is back on the bench and back in a sub-25-minute-a-night role. Bruno Fernando, no thanks. At center, Marc Gasol fell off last game. He's at $5,000. His first couple back from the hammy was strong. Last game, not so much. Again, just not a really that high of an upside option, I don't believe. All right, let's move it on. Next game up, we've got the Sixers and the Nets. Joel Embiid out, of course. Al Horford has come up as questionable. He hurt his hand last game. He was able to finish that one out, but he's questionable at the moment. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler is out with a hammy, while Garrett Temple and Smokin' Joe Harris are both probable. DeAndre Jordan also out for Brooklyn. At point guard, Kyrie's at 8,300. Even in the last couple of games where he hasn't been at his best, he's still a 40-point guy, and at 8,300, I'm absolutely fine with that, especially when you'd have to spend the same amount to take, say, a Kyle Lowry. I'll take a Kyrie Irving over him, even though this matchup, not a great one. Benny Simmons at 9,300, his lowest score in his last five without Embiid, 45 points. Yeah, I'll take that as a floor value against a team whose point guard defense is poor, to say the least. At shooting guard, Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't see how we can trust this bloke at all, especially at 6,300. That's a strong no from me, while Caris LeVert can't even get to 20 points at the moment, and his role is pretty cloudy, especially with Harris and Temple likely to be playing here. Toby Harris, in fact, at 6,600, I like that value for him, even though he didn't quite get there last game, but I like that spot for him with Embiid out. Ennis and Musa, no thank you. Jarrett Allen at 54, really strong play with Jordan out. He did have 4 blocks last game, which boosted him up to 33 points, but he's more likely to be a 29-minute guy versus a 25-minute guy with Jordan sidelined. So that does help him. While Horford at 7,000, I think that's pushing too high for Horford. Loved him as a mid-sixes guy. 7,000, probably a bit high. While Speedy Claxton at 3,500, he had 31 points last game in 19 minutes. Really strong. Do I like him to repeat that? Probably not to that level, so that would be a fade. The cock monster, Kylo Quinn, looks like he'll be the backup center with Norval Powell still out with the two-way issue. I think he's got 1 day left on his two-way. O'Quinn's at 4,000. He had 26 in 16 minutes last game. Is he a tournament guy? Maybe. If Horford is out, then we have to really like the cock monster there against a really, really good matchup that could work very, very much in his favor. So that's one just to watch for that Horford situation to see exactly where Al ends up. The next game, the Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets. The Magic are 4-point favorites, and the total here is 207.5 points. Michael Carter-Williams returned over the weekend for the Magic. Of course, Johnny Isaac still remains sidelined. At point guard, Carter Williams is at 3,600. I don't really love that. I do like Fultz at 54, who is averaging 38 over his last three, 33 over his last five. Triple doubles, scoring well, getting assists, getting steals. Really, really like Fultz here. Rozier at 64, 40 points in his last outing, but that is maybe marginally a bit high there for Tez. And then onto the shooting guards, Devontae Graham's down at 6,800 because he has been struggling, averaging under 30 points in his last five. The matchups I'd grade it as a negative, so I'm not super keen on him. While Fournier at 55, limited upside guy, but a pretty strong floor value, so he's a cash guy. While Terrence Ross is at 4,900. That's always just a tournament sort of a play. At small forward, Miles Bridges, well, we just don't know what we're going to get with this bloke, so it's really tough to get excited about him. Weza Wundu probably coming off the bench with Kem Birch starting, and Nick Batum, who's been getting minutes. None of them are small forward guys. At power forward, Az Gordon, 5,500. a bit down the last couple, Gordo, but that's not a bad price at all for him. So I like it. I think that's a really good value spot for Gordo. While Paul Washington Jr. is at 58, that is more expensive than Aaron Gordon. I would take Gordon over him pretty comfortably, but Washington is still not a bad option. At center, Mo Bamba's at 35. He had 31 points last game. He did have 4 blocks. That's why I jumped back up, so don't read too much into it. While Nikola Vucevic is only averaging 35 over the last 5, 40 over his last 5, 35 over his last 3, 40 over his last 5. At 8,500, I want a little bit more. Now, this matchup is super positive. Centers go bananas against the Hornets usually, so that could give you some spark there to using Vuce. And he's not a bad option, but we've got 14 games on, so he's not someone that's absolutely standing out to us. Cody Zeller, of course, nor Bismack Biyombo are standing out at all. Next game, the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. No Zion Williamson, while Drew Holiday and Derek Favors are both questionable. Jahlil Okafor is also questionable, while Ken Williams is out. JJ Redick also listed as probable for this game. I don't think there's any Grizzlies injuries news. Nope, we're all good there. All right, at point guard, Lonzo Ball, 6,700. He's averaging 42 over the last 5. If there's no Drew, I'm smacking that. If Drew plays, it does take a little bit of the value away from Lonzo, but that's not a high price, 6,700. He is still absolutely an option for us. While the wave pool, De'Anthony Melton's at 5,000. Love what he's doing. 5,000 is too high for us. Ja Morant's at 79. Minutes are up. Production's up. 40 average over the last 3. And at 7,900, that's good. 43 average over the last 5. Even better. Positive matchup. Super positive matchup. Love it for Ja here. Shooting guards, we've got Drew Holiday's at 75. That looks pretty good if he plays. We just don't know that at this point, unfortunately. We'd love for him to be out there and putting up numbers, but we're just not at that level at this point, not at that stage. Well, Dylan Brooksy Brooks is at 56, scoring well, but he's just not doing enough in the other areas to really elevate his DFS game. 27 average over the last 3, 31 over the last 5, which is okay at 5,600, but I'm just not so sure about his overall upside. Josh the Hitman Hart, not feeling that, nor with JJ Redick. At small forward, Crowder, just no way. The most inconsistent bloke you could ever look to use. While Brandon Ingram's at 9,000, hasn't really been pushing those numbers as much as we would have hoped over the last couple. But still, we know he's got 60-65 point upside, so he can easily be a GPP target without being an absolute cash lock. At power forward, Favors is at 5,900. The questionable tagging is obviously concerning. The fact that he's averaging 37 over the last 3 is inspiring. But how do we weigh those two up? You probably want to use him as a tournament guy. Triple J's at 67. Strong tournament option. While Brandon Clark's at 49. He's giving us 28 a night over the last 3, which is really, really good at that salary. I'm not sure I really trust it, and the upside is limited. At center, Valanciunas is at 6,500. He is a 46 average over the last 3. That's strong form. That's a low price. I'm in on JV to give me 35 minimum here and push up towards that 40 mark as well. Well, Jackson Hayes had 28 in 16 minutes last time out. If Favors is out, he would become a really, really good option to look at, although they could go back to Jahlil Okafor and see what happens there. The New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cavs. Imagine how dumb does it sound to call them the Cleveland Cavs. It sounds so stupid. Anyway, the Cavs, 1.5 in the total, 221.5 points here. Ante Zizic is out. Brandon Knight is out, while Dennis Smith is also out for the Knicks. The Duke Wayne Ellington's cropped up on the injury report for New York, while the Muppet John Henson is questionable as well. Now, if Henson is out, that does give a boost to Larry Nance. More center minutes have to come his way, and then you get someone like Dean Wade coming in to fill in the rest of those numbers. The Padawan, Colin Sexton's at 5,800. He's a 30-point guy, so you love that floor. Absolutely smash cash floor value there. While Darius Garland's at 5,000. I actually think that's not a bad number, although his recent production has been a little bit under. I'd probably prefer Sexton over Garland with those prices. Lord Alfred Payton's at 5,400. He's always a tough one to get a handle on because sometimes he plays 24, sometimes he plays 30, sometimes he scores 10 points, sometimes he scores 50. So he is an interesting tournament sort of a player in a matchup that is super positive. Ntilikina and Dellavedova, God no. At shooting guard, Reggie Bullock's at 4,000. Rowan Barrett's out, so Bullock is going to get another start. He dropped 27 last game. That's not a bad cash option. I think he does have limited upside, though. Well, Damo Dotson was surprisingly out of the rotation last game with Alonzo Trier jumping into that spot. Just neither of them are going to have that value for us. Marcus Morris at 52, one of the best plays on the board. I think that is a super, super strong price for Morris. I love that. Chetty Osman, not so much. Alfonso McKinney and the Ford Kevin Knox, no. At power forward, Larry Nance is at 3,800. Well, Nance has been okay the last couple of games, and that is a super enticing price. I don't love it for cash. He can easily have a 28-pointer in 25 minutes. There's no doubt about that. And that gives him GPP value at that salary. Love's at 6,900.
Giggity.
Of course he is. Love it as well. Really, really strong production from him. Even back-to-backs, 34 minutes, really rolling at the moment. So I do like that. Well, Randall's at 8,000. Give me Love over Randall any day of the week and save that $1,100. Randall's not bad, but I just think we can do better. At center, Tristan Thompson's at 57. Exceeded that last game, but hasn't quite been in that 30-point mark that we want him to get to. Not a bad spot, but probably better options. Well, Mitchie Robinson's at 4,900.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
Love the matchup for Robbo. Just don't like what they do with him in terms of playing time, which is always going to be the concern. Also, Punch Bob is a no. Let's go next game. Chicago Bulls, the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are a massive 14-point favorite. The total is 225.5 points here. Of course, Lowry Market and Ryan Arcicakano and Chandler Hutchison are all listed as probable for Chicago, while Robin Lopez is doubtful with what the injury report is calling body. Cool. On to your point guards. Bledsoe's at... Wendell Carter and Dan Gafford are out, of course, for Chicago. But Eric Bledsoe's down at 5,600 because he's not producing. He's averaging under 20 points in the last three games. But in the last five, he's averaging 28 because he was really good. And then he's dropped right off. This is a tough matchup. Chicago defends point guards really well with Dunn and Satoransky providing really good defense. So Bledsoe is more of your tournament option here. But that price is pretty low. Dunn and Satoransky, they're very similar prices. I'm not really looking at either of them as GPP or even cash guys. Same with George Hill. At shooting guard, the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo. His lowest score in his last five has been 22. And at 4,200, I'll take that floor really, really nicely. I think that's a really good value spot for him. Is his upside high? God no, because they're just going to limit his minutes. But he's averaging 27 over the last three, and that's okay. So he's more of a cash guy as a cheap option to fill it out. Love Middleton at 7,000. Really think he's a good cash option there. While Levine at 8,700, he is just rolling. 52 on the last three. Now, of course, he goes up against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NBA, against the best team in the NBA. And 8,700 is a lot. I think I would fade Levine at that elevated salary. For your small forwards, Giannis at 11.7. He's going to dismantle this team. They've got no one who can stop him, but how many minutes does he need to play? I still like him here. I think this is still a good spot to use him. At power forward, Markkanen's at 51. That's a very, very low price. He did have 29 last game, and he's averaging 25 over the last five, despite some stinkers being involved in there. So I don't have a problem really using him. Well, Luke Kornet at 4,200. The minutes down last game, I think he's more of a tournament guy. Even though big men have gone well against the Bucks, I worry about what sort of lineups they're going to run out there or what Boylan's going to do. Thad Young's at 45. He's not really worth the hassle. Ersan Ilyasova similarly. At center, Brook Lopez at 51. He's been on fire, and we know centers against the Bulls, they just swallow up everything. So 5,100 for Brook, I like it quite a bit. And then your other center on this game is Chris Felizio. And I think you're all well aware that we don't like him. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Rockets are favored by 6.5. The total is 229 points. Austin Rivers is questionable for Houston, while Terrence Ferguson and Abdul Nadir are both out for Oklahoma City. The Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari, he rested last game.
Hands off my
cock! So he is likely to be back and starting again. At point guard, Chris Paul's at 7,100. Bang, let's go. Love it. Absolutely love that for Chris Paul, who's like a 40-point average guy over the last three anyway. Really, really strong numbers. Russ Westbrook's at 9,500. He's averaging 60 over the last three. So he at sub 10,000, that is a stupidly low price. So I do like Westbrook there quite a bit. MC Hamadou Diallo at 3,500. Oops, hit my wrong button.
Time.
There you go. He's at 3,500. He started last game and had 5 points in 33 minutes. Terrence Ferguson, that's why he's out. He's just so happy for it. He wanted to see it again. I don't mean to make light of any because Ferguson's out with a personal situation. I don't mean to make light of anything, so I apologize if that was if something comes out that was quite negative in his life. I apologize. Hamidou Diallo, 3,500. Yeah, maybe for tournaments, but Jesus, it is tough to rely upon him. Well, Dennis Schroeder's at 54. I like that cash value for Schroeder. Well, Jimmy Harden at 11.4, been down, really. He's averaging only 45 over the last five. Not sure I like it on a slate this large. I think it feels sacrilegious to say that I just don't like James Harden at sub 12,000. But with how things have been trending at the moment, yeah, and against a team that's defending pretty well, it is a tough one to get my head around. I don't dislike it completely. I think he can be a 50-point guy, but is he a 60, 65-pointer? Yeah, I think that's the worry here with Harden. Gilgeous Alexander's at 77. He's been giving us 40s comfortably. Like him again, really good value there. Benny McLemore, not so keen. At small forward, the Italian Cox at 59. That is absolute smash-worthy. He is giving us big numbers. His lowest score has been 30 over the last five. So I'm all in on Danilo Gallinari there. Eric Gordon, not so much. Same with Dan House. At power forward, PJ Tucker. Mike D'Antoni said he wanted to play him 30 minutes a night every night, and then the next game played him 35 because of course he did. But that doesn't matter because he's giving us absolutely nothing. Nerlens Noel's at 4,000. Noted power forward Nerlens Noel. 36 last game in 19 minutes. That feels a little bit of an outlier though, so I wouldn't get too excited about it. And then at center, Steve Adams is at 6,000. We can do much better than that. Clint Capela at 79. I like the cash floor there. He's clearly got 55-point upside. I like Capela quite a bit in this matchup against Adams. Next one, the Kings, the Heat. The Heat are 5-point favorites. The total is, Richie Beno, what is it?
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Yes, it's 222 points. The Heat, of course, coming in on the back-to-back. Nemanja Bjelica is probable. Kent Bazemore won't play, while Marvin Bagley is not on the injury report after exiting last game relatively early, or 2 minutes ago with a sore foot, but he is not on the injury report. The iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, 4,600. Tournaments, there is some value there in Dragic at 4,600. Kendrick Nunn at 51, love what he's doing at the moment. Love him in this one as well. While De'Aaron Fox is smashing, but his salary is up. It's 8,400, but that doesn't really matter when he's giving you 50 a night. He is carrying this Kings team, and I actually don't mind it as a play, although the Heat, of course, is always a negative matchup for point guards. Bud Hield is down at 5,500 because he's struggling. But I like that price for him. I think he's in play. Dunk Robinson, the Spur, 3,900. He's good for 20 points. And if that's what floats your boat, then sure. But I think we can do better. Bogdan Bogdanovic, not ready to trust him. Tyler Hero just did not look right returning from his knee injury today, so not keen on him. Well, Jim Butler's at 91. Probably a little bit high for a bloke who's deferring as much as Jimmy is at this point. Small forwards, Harrison Barnes. The pencil, Barnesy. He's at 4,900. He's playing big minutes. He's averaging 20 points a game. So that's going to be a no from me. Derek Jones, no thank you. Power forward, Bagley, 51. Love it. Absolutely love it. He's got a sore foot, sure. But even if he plays 25 minutes, he'll beat that number. All about that one there. While Bjelica is at 54, he's more of a tournament guy. But I don't mind the floor value. Bam Bam Adebayo, who was quiet a little bit, but has ramped it up lately. 46 in his last three. But that price at 8,700 is pretty limiting, in my opinion. And I don't think I'd want to get involved in it. And I definitely don't want to get involved in the Harry Giles or Myers Leonard business. Let's go. Next game. We're cranking through these ones. The Lakers and the Celtics, both Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo are questionable, while Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker are also questionable. So a lot of things can change. Of course, if Kemba and Jaylen are out, we get Marcus Smart value. You get bumps to Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum and even Daniel Tice to an extent. If Davis is out, we get Kuzma. We get Howard coming in. With Rondo out, we get KCP getting a boost as well. At point guard, Walker is at 6,900.
Giggity.
Yeah, he is. He had 59 points the last time he played, but he's coming in on a sore knee in a tough matchup. I think he's an interesting tournament guy because that is a really low price for Kemba, but it obviously bears watching. Rondo's at 45. His last game, don't be swayed by that, he had 48 points. That was without LeBron. So LeBron's fine, and he's not going to play that much. At shooting guard, Marcus Smart hit 11 threes last game. He had 66 FanDuel points. He's at 5,500. I would love it if one of those two blokes, Brown or Walker, was out. I would love Smart in that scenario. I'd probably end up fading off him if they both played. Dan Green, he dropped 42 in the last game. That's an outlier. Well, KCP at 4,000, actually playing pretty well. 25 average over his last five. And at 4,000, not a bad cash game salary ballast type of a guy, especially if we hear that Rondo is out. At small forward, Brownie. Jaylen Brown's at 59. I love that price for Brownie. He's, even though he's struggling, he's still averaging 32 over the last three. In on that. While Gordon Hayward at 57, also great value on both of those blokes. LeBronny is at 11,100.
LeBron James.
Love the floor. Super upside. in on him as well. And then on power forwards, Tone Davis is at 10-9. If this injury's dragging out quite a bit here for Davis, unfortunately. I think that's probably a little bit too high for a bloke coming back from a sore bum. So Tatum at 76 looks a lot better at the power forward spot. Daniel Tice at 47 is probably pushing a bit too high, but unbelievably, he's averaging 32 points over his last three games, Ticey. As for the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma at 48. Davis in, piss him off. Davis out, then Kuzma does become an option for us. At center, Dwight's at 5,700, and if Davis is out again, he's a 30-point guy, and that's great cash value. Cantor, no thanks. McGee at 48, give me Dwight instead. Although JaVale, he's averaging 30 over the last three, and at 4,900, that absolutely gets it done. Next game, the Denver Nuggets up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are 2.5-point favorites. The total here is 218.5 points. Millsap, Harris, and Murray all did not play on Sunday. The closest to return, they said, was going to be Gaz Harris. So I would have to assume then that Millsap and Murray will miss this one. Harris may also miss it. It gives a big boost to Will Barton, Monty Morris, Jeremy Grant, Michael Porter Jr. You know all the names that get benefits there. Alan Crabb is questionable for Minnesota with an illness. At point guard, Morris is at 4,000. I'm assuming Murray's not playing, so I do like Monty at that sort of a salary. While Shabazz Napier at 48, he's getting the assists, which are working for season-long category leagues, but they're not really providing the DFS numbers, so I think we can probably do better at that sort of a price tag. At shooting guard, Wiggins is at 61, triple-doubled and 47 for Andrew points last game, which is obviously great. I like that salary for Wiggo quite a bit, while Gaz Harris at 46. I'm just going to go in assuming he doesn't play, so yeah, therefore not a good one. Malik Beasley, 4,500. He's always a GPP guy when these guys are out. It's just hard to always put a finger on what Malone's going to do with the minutes. At small forward, Jarrett Culver at 56. Really like what he is doing. 32 over the last three. Strong numbers there. That salary is high, and it is a little bit of a concern, but I don't hate it, especially given the Nuggets are on a back-to-back. While Fart and Will Barton at 66, really, really like that one. Okogie and Bates Diop, not so much. At power forward, Michael Porter Jr. is at 5,300. It's a pretty hefty salary rise for Mick there. 36 average over the last three, not including Sunday's game. I do like him at 5,300, though. I think there is some value. While Covington's at 61, strong floor, also with some tournament upside. Jeremy Grant, even with Millsap out, I'm not really keen. At center, Townsie's at 10-4. Still easing his way back, so I'd fade that. While Big Chungus Nikola Jokic is at 10,000. Probably a little bit too high for Jokic on a back-to-back. Next game, the Spurs and the Suns. The Spurs also on a back-to-back. The Suns are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 227 points here. Aaron Baines is doubtful for Phoenix. Cameron Johnson is questionable, while Kelly Oubre is probable and likely to return. At point guard, Ravishing Rick is 6,300. Matchup's good for Rubio. I think he can be a 35-point guy here. I am in on Rubio. Well, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, just no way of being able to predict what's going to happen. Now, Murray was ill on Sunday, but his minutes were well down and only had 13 FanDuel points. I don't like either of those guys. Patty Mills at 38. Millsy, actually, he's giving us 20 a game. He's playing 23 minutes a night at 3,800. That's not bad. Again, it's just that small price guy if you want to put him in the Stars and Scrubs type of scenario. DeMar DeRozan's at 8,800. His ridiculous run continues, but this salary is really catching up. And at 8,800, it probably turns him away from being a rosterable guy into a puntish type of a player. At small forward, Oubre's at 7,200. Was playing well before the concussion, before that, well, the last game where he had 19 points. I think that's maybe just a little bit too high for Cali. Rudy Gay, he is questionable with an illness. I believe so. He's at 42. I don't know why I'm spending so much time talking about Rudy Gay. Well, McCall Bridges is at 49. Really cranking when Oubre was out. But how Monty Williams uses him here is a giant question mark. So that should be a giant question mark on your DFS lineup. LaMarcus at 75. I like that spot for Aldridge. He does pretty well against Phoenix in general, so I'm okay with that. Well, Šarić, Lyles, Cech Diallo, who probably steps into a backup role with Bainsey out. Maybe he's a GPP guy, but probably not. At center, Ayton's at 8,000. Love it. He's a 40-point guy, almost guaranteed. So I really, really like Ayton here. Jakob Poeltl, not so much. Next game, the Pacers, the Jazz. The Jazz are 7-point favorites. Indiana is on a back-to-back. Mike Conley still being worked into the rotation here for Utah, so I don't imagine his minutes are going to be all that high. He is at 4,100. That's how bad he has been. there is maybe some reason to think that that could be a GPP play. I wouldn't be doing it. Brogdon's at 67. Yeah, against a defense which is pretty good, not as good as they have been in the past. It's okay. There are better ones out there. McConnell is not one of those. At shooting guard, the Don, Donovan Mitchell.
He's Don. He's good.
He's at 6,500. Love that for Mitchell. Really, really like it. Jeremy Lamb played well last couple. Not so keen on him at that sort of a salary. Well, Clarko at 4,400. Yeah, maybe a tournament guy, but again, I think his upside is pretty limited with Conley returning. At small forward, Boyan's at 5,700. Love the floor value in Bogdanovic at that price. While Tony Warren Jr. at 58, also a strong, strong cash guy. Justin Holiday, Dougie McDirt, Joe Ingles. I'm not super keen on them. Although, actually, no, Ingles at 55 is a pretty good option. At power forward, Royce O'Neal is a no. Domantas Sabonis at 9,100. I think that is too high of a salary for him. And then at centre, Miles Turner at 59 is still way too high. While Gobert is at 9,700. And you know why? His lowest score in the last five is 47 points. He is killing it. 53 average over the last five. I don't really feel great about spending $10,000 on Gobert, but those numbers speak for themselves. I still would end up fading off of him in this one. And then we go on to the last game of the day. It is the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. The Blazers won't have Ariza here yet, so they're probably going to get, and they're not no CJ McCollum, so we're going to get more of that Nassir Little, Anthony Simons 2-3 starting combination. More minutes going to Gaz Trent as well. At point guard, Damian Lillard's at 88, really good floor value, not so sure about the high upside, while Simons at 37 is a GPP guy. He's not the greatest producer, but at that price, if he gets 25, he's already smashed his value, so that's at least worth monitoring. At shooting guard, Gary Trent's at 36. Oh, Draymond Green missed last game for Golden State. He's not in the injury report, so he should be fine. Jacob Evans is out, though. Gary Trent really made hay in garbage time, dropped 50 FanDuel points. He's at 3,600. The opportunity's there again. I don't actually dislike using him. While 76 for D'Angelo Russell looks like a pretty good price, and Damian Lee at 49. Struggled a little bit last game, but that price is super interesting to me also. At small forward, Birksie, Alec Burks at 52. Yeah, cash guy, not tournaments. Nassir Little, 36. I think he'll start again, but I'm not super into him. Well, Eric Paschal at power forward, he's at 4,500. He had a big game last time out with Draymond out, but with Draymond back, it's a little bit tougher to get behind him. At center, Hassan Whiteside. The world. 9,000 is a lot, and his numbers haven't quite been there lately. I think more tournament for him, while Cauley Stein and Spellman, they're really, really hard to trust at this point. That'll do it for me today, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give me a don't give me a thumbs up. Well, you can do whatever you want in your own time. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Subscribe, 5-star rating and review is always a great way to support this podcast. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Bismack Biyombo.